Good evening. I'm supposed to get a light. Oh, there's the light. Okay, now I'm online. It's been a while since I've been able to talk with you folks, and I appreciate the opportunity, even though it's a challenge for me. But Jonah set the scale for what I'll be talking about tonight. Jonah and the prodigal son's brother all had attitude problems. We can choose our attitudes. I have some new information, so to speak, that it seems new because it's within the last, say, 10 years that medical doctors and psychologists and psychiatrists and neurologists have studied and found out that we can change our attitudes. Some people are so locked into the attitudes that for them to change it, they may have to just make a substitution of a different attitude for what is happening. In my business that I've been working, they say that you can believe, belong, and become. That's similar to what we have in the church, because we believe in Christ. We hear and can believe. And then when we confess and are baptized, we actually belong to the church because God adds us to the church. But sometimes people have a trouble belonging to the group and becoming better. A lot of this times has to do with the attitude that they would have. We bring baggage with us. This becoming is part of what I want to discuss tonight. So have you noticed some difficulties in belonging with fellow Christians sometimes? Not necessarily here, but other places where you've been and you've been with seeing Christians, that it's just really hard to get along with them. We get locked into the environment that we're in, the actions and the attitudes of people that are around us. And I'm going to use the term, call that biology, the biology that we live in. And I'll have that in a phrase later that'll make more sense. One group of people would say, woe is me, things always happen to me, it's always beyond my control. Another person, it's an attitude from that person. When they are talking about themselves, they're never in the wrong. It's always something that someone else or something else has caused in their problem. They don't want to admit that happens, but when they look at someone else, they see something wrong with someone else. That person must be corrupt and evil. Something's wrong with that person. I've kind of felt that way sometimes myself in the past. Studying this business, I learned more about I also have faults. And it can come within myself, and it's not the environment that I live in. The world is waking it up to how we can have a better life and have more like a thriving life. And there's some things in the Bible we'll go over in a moment that shows that this has always been the case with the instructions from God. But I have some printouts here that we came across of some of the ways that the neuroscience reveals that gratitude really or literally rewires your brain to be happier. They've done studies, extemporaneous studies. One example was they had a group of 300 people, another one had a group of 25 people. They divided them into three different groups. A third of them, they gave them the instructions for several days to write down something good every day, some kind of a good thing that you can think of. The next group, they left alone. They said, just write about anything in life. The third group, write down everything that bothers you. Well, at the end of the study, the most happy and prosperous and energetic people were those that every single day wrote down something that gave them gratitude and that they were thankful for. The middle group was just a middle group, but the ones that kept writing everything down, they had depression, they had, they multiplied the bad effects in their brains. There's another study. This person was doing a study about positive thinking. We've heard some different famous commentators that say think and grow rich and having an attitude of good positive thoughts. Dr. Bruce Lipton said, the moment you change your perception is the moment you rewrite the chemistry of your body. And people have said, well, the positive thinking doesn't do anything about it. But in the Biology of Belief, Dr. Bruce Lipton, found it straightforward. Now, in his case, he was studying this because he was working with a bunch of long-distance runners, like at a college or for an Olympic or something like that. So he found out our minds move information throughout our nervous systems. Every thought we have stimulates the release of neurotransmitters. Neurotransmitters are the body's chemical messengers, which transmit messages between neurons and from neurons to muscles. They also are in charge of many biological processes, including the release of hormones. When we do something new, our neurons form new connections with other neurons. When we have repetitive thoughts, positive or negative, we are strengthening those neural pathways that we've previously created. How your thoughts program your cells depends on your attitude at the time those things are happening. A little bit more, and then we'll get on to the Bible part. There are thousands upon thousands of receptors on each cell in our body. Each receptor is specific to one peptide or protein. When we have feelings of anger, sadness, guilt, excitement, happiness, or nervousness, each separate emotion releases its own flurry of neuropeptides. Those peptides surge through the body and connect with those receptors, which change the structure of each cell as a whole. Where this gets interesting is when the cells actually divide. If a cell has been exposed to a certain peptide, say happiness or good thoughts, then that gets duplicated. If you're having anger and frustration and that cell gets duplicated, then it magnifies the anger and frustrations. So the receptor matches with a specific peptide. Likewise, the cell will also have less receptors for peptides than its mother or sister cell was not exposed to as often. So it goes on. There's many more studies like that. But comparing with what's in the Bible, if you would get your Bible out and turn to Philippians, we'll be looking at the second, third, and fourth chapters. Philippians is a very good book about the attitudes that Christians should have in helping ourselves and helping others. People read these Bible passages and they don't consider connecting it with real life many times. But based on studies people have been doing that, I was just quoting a few of them, we can see that what God is telling us will really affect our lives in a positive way. Philippians 3rd chapter, verse 13 and 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. That's a good attitude there that he's having. And chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also the interest of others. That reminds me that on one of these studies, the people that were writing down the good and the positive thoughts and the everyday, they started talking more about we instead of me. We did this, we did that, and it was good for us, not me. The me and the I got left out the more they had gratitude. And that goes along with what they're saying here in this chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. And then, let's see, I got more scriptures on this next page. Okay, I'll come back to that one. Verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. Turn over to chapter 4. Verse 4 and then verse 6. This printout did not print verse 5. I'll let someone else read verse 5. Rex, if you'll read that. But verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In verse 5.
Let your moderation be known unto all men.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, and this is, we've heard this scripture, this particular verse, so many times, but based in the light of the evidence that people have been discovering physically that God has always been telling us about, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received, verse 9, and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace be with you. And back in 4 and 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's 4 and 13. Verse 19, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's just one scripture. There's many more. But if you will now turn to 2 Peter, the first chapter. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Verses 5 through 10, okay? But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. There again, you're seeing the positive and the negative. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly until the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now just remember that when Peter was speaking these things, where was he? He was in prison. Should he be depressed or upset? But the God was looking out for him. He knew his life was going to be ended, and he was still writing these things to the brethren. That is an excellent illustration of having a proper attitude compared with Jonah that we were studying. I better realize that it's important how I train my mind to become more. Another recent group of studies shows that the DNA we have is not our destiny. This biology I mentioned, the surrounding around us, doesn't have to be our biography when our world is ending. Those are partial quotes from a nutritionist named Ann Louise Gittleman, to give her credit for the way that was worded. Again, our DNA is not our destiny. Our biology is not our biography. We have effect that we can make to correct our lives. So where might you be in this believing, belonging, and becoming that I mentioned that goes along with whether you have become a Christian or not? Have you perchance thought that, I don't want to be a Christian there, I don't want to be among those hypocrites? I guess if you thought that, then you're letting the hypocrite that'll be going to hell steer you where you want to be if you don't want to become a Christian yourself. Could it be that you've mistakenly judged someone's character? Or was it his external, that you've made an error in judging a person's character? It may have been external circumstances that you're not aware of. Are you limiting your life's improvement by locking in your attitude before even learning how to belong, meaning how to belong with the church? Most of us know already the plan of salvation. So if you believe in Jesus, as in Romans 10:10, if you can change your attitude to gratitude, now you're likely to be ready to be baptized, Acts 2:38, and other multiple places. Now you can belong and even become better. Serve God only. Be grateful for blessings. Be a blessing to friends and family. Rewire your brain. Here's an example. I don't really like to say, okay, this is a problem. People don't know how to do this. I always like to find a suggestion or a solution. One way to rewire your brain, if you have a negative thought, for instance, you can reroute your thoughts. That maybe you see someone going strangely down the road. He almost shoves you off the road. Instead of saying, that dumb driver is going to kill himself or someone else, change it to a prayer. Dear Lord, through Jesus I pray, keep that driver safe and others around them until they can have better circumstances and learn the better driving habits themselves. Turn something like that into a prayer. That's one suggestion. When you have better circumstances, learn better. If you're ready to be grateful to God for this opportunity to belong, a member of this church, or if you need help in this becoming a better person, let me know. You can also come now while we sing this song.